Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Conservative Talk Radio, like it is, Straight Talk with Jeremy Brown and Chauncey Brown. On the mic, your co-hosts and hosts. We're going to have a very exciting show today. Jeremy is with us as usual. He's going to talk today about the January 6th riot at the Capitol Hill. He was there, and how, unfortunately, the Washington Post posted lies about a decorated veteran, my friend Jeremy Brown. He's going to talk about it today, and if we have to, we'll do a part two, because now it's at the point where Jeremy has to sue the Washington Post for a defamation of character. I'm honored to have my co-host in the studio. Go ahead, JB. What do you say?
Chauncey, I don't have to sue them. I want to sue them, and I'm going to sue them.
You're right. Thank you for the clarification. And they should be sued.
Thanks for that great introduction. And a shout out to my buddy Scott in South Dakota, or is it Nebraska? The answer is that a big Kahuna burger? I do hear that's a tasty burger. So for Scott listening out there, you know what I mean, brother. And to all my other friends that are out there listening, hopefully I've got a couple of combat vets that are listening. And yes, I do want to talk about my growing case against the Washington Post. And it wouldn't be a show if you didn't have the Sound of Liberty in the background. But our growing case against the Washington Post for defamation against U.S. combat veterans as a whole. And really the foundation of this case is an article written by Greg Jaffe on January 15th. And of course, there were probably just spell checkers, but I'm not even going to give them the mm-hmm. celebrity that they need from our 38 listeners. But the article is entitled Conspiracy Theories and a Call for Patriots Entice Veterans at the Capitol. And so just a summary of the whole article. After the FBI, I firmly believe that this article was based on some information that was probably funneled to the author by the feds once I turned them down, because some of the information they have, nobody else would really have. And just the people that they targeted to try to question about the article, of course, none of them talked to them. Typical, so then they have to rely on their anonymous sources. But it's almost like you don't want to work with us, fine, we're going to leak something to the Washington Post and they're going to write this hit piece. And you see that in the very first line where they name me fully by name, Jeremy Michael Brown. Now that right there is just basic doxing 101. Hey, all of our liberal friends that read the Washington Post, the seven of you or however many there are left, his name's Jeremy Michael Brown. Feel free to look him up on the FEC or Trump donation websites or whatever so that you can go mess with him. The funny thing is, I guess the next line, it says that I'm a retired Special Forces soldier, must have deterred them because we haven't had any of those loyal Washington Post readers show up at the house. But they're welcome to come anytime. I do need to confirm zero. But anyway, so the basis of the article is nothing more than to sandwich in between, I'm one piece of bread in the first paragraph, then they talk about guys that were arrested, and then they close with me. So typical, like everybody learns in high school literature class, tell me what you're going to tell me what you're telling me, and then tell me what you told me type writing style. With the intent of simply defaming combat veterans, and we'll read through this a little bit, but that's kind of the introduction. And Chauncey, I don't want to take up all the time, so I think you've read the article. What did you think when you read it?
Well, first of all, I think that the article was very un-American. That is my first response. My second response is that I was disgusted and I was pissed off because our veterans, and my dad was a Navy veteran, you're a veteran. Most of my friends are veterans, went to school, I became a fireman, and I know what you guys go through and don't know what you guys go through when you go out there to service our country. It is a disservice for anyone, especially the media, to talk about our servicemen. our servicemen are dealing today still with PTSD, homelessness, drug abuse as a result of mental illness. And the Post wants to take a swipe at veterans that wants to uphold their constitutional right and duty to go and attend the Capitol and then talk negatively about them. It's disgusting. It's a shame.
Well, and what you have here is you have a typical piece of propaganda, and we'll read through some of it. I've redlined it like a English term paper. So we'll go through a couple of key points. But one of the things I want to point out to everybody as we read through the article, and I definitely, you know, not to give Greg Jaffe any credit or anything, but you really should go to the article and read it, because I know nobody really does read these things, but what they do is they write these articles. They're hoping that they get picked up by the mainstream television news or some kind of clickbait that's pushed out through social media. And they just write these fabulous headlines, knowing that nobody's really going to read the article. But I did read the article. I think everybody should read the article, because it'll give you a little insight into how they use the English language to propagandize the American people. And in this case, they're propagandizing the American people against the very people that actually have given up their blood, their sweat, their tears, their treasure, to ensure that the Washington Post even has the ability to do this. So let's just go through a couple of things, right? So in the very first paragraph, they talk about me by name, and then they write how I went to D.C. dressed for battle because I had on body armor, boots, and Kevlar. Okay, so if you're wearing boots out there, be aware that the FBI is probably looking for you, because that automatically apparently makes you a domestic violent extremist. So take your boots off, maybe go out and get some of those Nas X Satan shoes, and then you won't have any problems with the FBI. But the reality is we were there on a PSD. Our protectees had requested that we present a presence of, you know, protective gear, helmets, masks, eye protection, and body armor, because, you know, there's been instances in the past of, believe it or not, Antifa stabs people. BLM stabs people, right? So typically, if you look like you're willing to kick somebody's ass, they're less likely to try to mess with you. And so that was really the entire intention. And it mentions a Kevlar helmet. I had on a bicycle helmet that was painted green. I mean, come on, guys, do a little research. And then from there, you know, it says, Brown spent months warning the United States was on the verge of tyranny. Hey, guess what? I was right. So I have to give it to them. They did get that right. And that, you know, we're on the verge of total war. And in a brief interview, okay, the guy never interviewed me, right? He literally called my cell phone. I do know how he got my cell phone number. Calls my cell phone and says, hey, I'm a soy boy. I wear skinny jeans, and I'm with the Washington Post. Would you be willing to talk to me? And I said no and hung up. There you go, folks. In a brief interview, Jeremy Brown exposing himself to the Washington Post. So we go down to the next paragraph. There's no evidence that suggests that Brown, 46, a former master sergeant, entered the Capitol building with rioters and has not been charged with any crime. But the killing of a fellow Air Force veteran by police inside the Capitol left Brown enraged. Yeah, I mean, how dare I be enraged that law enforcement just totally blasted an unarmed female and killed her on Capitol grounds. But there you go. So I'm not a criminal. I haven't been charged with any crime, but I'm enraged. Yeah, well, I wasn't. If you were so afraid of my rage, you probably shouldn't have written this hit piece about me. Then he goes on to says that I was enraged that the very government that I had over the course of a long military career sworn an oath to defend and serve. Well, any veteran out there knows that we swear no oath to any government. All right. Our oath is sworn to the U.S. Constitution and the people that live under that Constitution. So, you see here the typical leftist propaganda of that soldiers are sworn to protect the government. No, we're sworn to overthrow a government if it gets out of hand, as laid out in the Declaration of Independence. We're sworn to a constitutional form of government, and any form that variates mm-hmm. from that, we are sworn to protect against. So all these globalists and deep staters out there that think that you're going to be able to trick the American veteran. Now, they might be able to indoctrinate the guys that are dependent on their military paycheck that are current soldiers right now. I hope they can't, but as we know, the 60-day stand down that is going on right now is an attempt for the powers to be, those tyrants that I've warned about for months and months, as reported by the Washington Post, those tyrants are attempting to indoctrinate soldiers under the threat of being drummed out of their career of choice by telling them that, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. No. Ladies and gentlemen out there, brothers and sisters in arms, if you're listening to this, or if you have access to any of these active duty soldiers, pull them aside and say, look, here's what you're really – reread your original oath, all right? We are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is it. No more, no less. So it just goes to show that they have a twisted sense of our service, that we are somehow – government sheep. And granted, we are used as pawns by the very government, and this is exactly why you had what happened in January 6th, because Americans are awakening to the sorry state of affairs and the condition of our representatives in D.C. And so they're rising up, you know, hence the calls against endless war. And I was listening to a podcast here recently, and I don't remember who the guys were. I think it might have been a Black Rifle Coffee podcast. And the guys are saying, one of the guys admitted that, hey, you know, as a young soldier, and I can admit this myself, as a young Ranger, as a young Green Beret, yeah, I wanted to go get my war on. I wanted to go get, you know, I wanted to do the next mission. I wanted to whack the next mole. But you know what? As you mature as a man and as a warrior, you start to get that, you start to get the weariness, and you wonder, Why am I doing this, and is what I'm doing for the right purposes? And I think if you ask most veterans out there today, if they're honest with themselves, they will look back on their careers and think, no, I don't think that I was used appropriately. It doesn't diminish their service, but what it does is it shines a light on the very people that used us. They're using young men and young women who want to do good and turning it and using it to enrich themselves, to manipulate other countries, to destroy all the other cultures. And it's not right. And I think most of the American veterans out there today would agree with me. Maybe they won't, but hey, if you don't agree with me, then let me know. But I think most of us, we wake up in the morning, we have pains and we've lost friends. I mean, I can't even count on both hands how many guys that I served with that I either knew very closely or that I, you know, was in a course with, was on the same team with, or whatever, that gave their lives for what they believed was a just cause. And so it really infuriates me at how the narrative towards the U.S. combat veteran is being shifted. And there's an intent behind it. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but let me go on with the article. And Chauncey, I'm sorry, break in any time. I know I'm kind of rambling, but
No. This information is very, very important. So, and we only have a limited amount of time, so it's very important that you get it out. As a matter of fact, we're going to go and do a quick cut here. This is Conservative Talk Radio, straight talk like it is, with co-hosts Jeremy M. Brown, who is a former Master Sergeant, Special Forces. And I'm the other co-host, Chauncey Brown, national political commentator and host of The Chauncey Show. Jeremy, thank you. This is very important information that the public hears the truth and not the unfortunate propaganda that this person, Mr. Chaff, put in the paper. You know, one thing I want to say is that it's a shame that today media does not print and report news. They print propaganda, sensationalism, and it's so far away from the truth that they shouldn't even call themselves a journalist. It's really sad. That's all I wanted to add to it.
Well, no, and people say, oh, well, we have a right to a free press under the First Amendment, and we do, but what we have right now is not a free press. We have a foreign-controlled press. And if you don't believe me, okay, watch Fox News, watch CNN, watch MSNBC, watch Newsmax. Look at who the commercials are, right? You've got the pharmaceutical industry. Well, most pharmaceutical companies aren't primarily U.S.-owned companies. They're all over the world, and most of their products are manufactured in China, okay? Definitely most of the ingredients. So, you know, this isn't a free press, okay? This is a propaganda arm of a greater movement against the United States that's being financed by our very enemies. Don't believe me? Look into it for yourself. Look at the fact that the media in this country is controlled by a very small group of people, and where do they get their funding and investment from? Once you see that, you'll start to see a lot of this. So let me get into the real first piece of real propaganda and really where Mr. Jaffe goes off the rails and really proves that he has intent and malice behind the direction of this story. The next paragraph, which is the fourth paragraph down, it says, he quotes a parlay, I think is the correct term. I don't know. I'm not a social media whiz kid. But he quotes a parlay that I made after the events of January 6th, and it reads, quote, "Want to shoot an unarmed veteran attempting to uphold her oath? The same oath you fucking cowards seem to forget you took yourself." Then he says that he went on to write that I challenged Capitol Police to a duel, all right, and then posted a video of the moment. What he refuses to include in that is he's right. I absolutely did say that, and I absolutely did challenge the Capitol Police to a duel. I even said that they can bring the weapon of their choice, right? Hey, if it's good enough for Alexander Hamilton, it's good enough for Jeremy Brown. But what he seems to have forgotten is that in the very next line, I say, I will let you kill me. So his attempt is to make me look like a violent guy that is challenging the Capitol Police to a duel, when really my intent is to say, look, if you guys want to beat American citizens or even kill an American citizen, I will gladly volunteer for that duty, and then you'll have to deal with the repercussions of what American patriots will do in the aftermath, okay? That right there is 100% complete misrepresentation of my parlay, and he knows it. The Washington Post knows it because I told their senior editors and all the other chuckleheads that were there. And so they're intentionally meaning to make me look violent, okay? And so then they go on and they start to talk about all the other people, the 72 people that had been arrested. Now, remember, this is on January 15th. So at this time, they'd already arrested and charged 72 people, right? And 11 of them have military backgrounds. And then he commences to go into some of the military personnel that had been arrested and charged. Now, we know because the prosecution has come out and they've backpedaled on a lot of their claims and they've requested more time. But the reality is that their entire fake narrative is falling apart because there's just too much evidence, right? They couldn't manage to censor all the video. They couldn't manage to censor all the voices because there were so many of them that the story's getting out. And I think next week, Chauncey, we're going to have Kelly Sorrell, who's the National Legal Counsel for the Oath Keepers, on as our first guest in our extended one-hour format. Hey, hey. So, tune in next week. But we're going to have Kelly on, and she's going to give the inside scoop on how the prosecutors are manipulating this corrupt legal system and trying to keep all these American patriots locked up indefinitely. Because here's the game. The game is convince the American people that these are domestic violent extremists. And look, some of you out there probably listening have been called domestic violent extremists. And it's really laughable. Personally, I'm going to – I hope to talk to the makers of some of these military brand clothing, and we need to have a domestic violence extremist line of T-shirts. I will buy every single one that they have. But they're trying to create this narrative that patriots are synonymous with domestic violent extremists, and that most patriots are veterans, and that veterans are mentally unstable – because the article goes on to talk about, where's the line here? They're searching for some kind of immediate gratification to their delusional beliefs and all this other stuff, right? And who do they cite, right? They cite the Centers for American Progress. Okay, once again, do a little bit of research on who these groups, the Centers for American Progress, it's like the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center, right? Look at who these clowns are, right? It's like Snopes. Snopes are just two weirdos in their basement that Google things and then have somehow been given clout by the left stream media that somehow they're the ultimate arbiter of fact. It's ridiculous. I think the one guy was arrested for embezzling from his porn star girlfriend. Who knows? They're a bunch of crazies, right? But yet this is who – these are the types of groups that these guys cite. And then, of course, they like to close out at the end, again quoting me. And I actually like this quote. So, you can decide whether you agree with this or not. I said, "We cannot rely on politicians and tyrants." All right? Or, I'm sorry, we cannot – he didn't – quote it, "We cannot rely on politicians to defeat tyrants. What it takes," that's like asking a child to stop the ice cream man from selling ice cream, right? "There's but one weapon against the tyrant, and that is a patriot. So start mobilizing your neighborhoods because America is under attack." That is a factual statement. I will stand up under any court of law and defend it, and I will be happy to provide hours and hours of evidence to prove that that is a factual statement. But it just goes to show that the Washington Post wants to demoralize, defame, and discredit the American combat vet. Why? Because we are the largest threat to their little scheme here. And their scheme is a complete elimination of America as the last bastion of liberty in the world, and their one world government, the Great Reset globalist takeover, where all the elites can basically run the capital city, and then we'll all be out in the districts, like in the Hunger Games scenario, providing them with all the resources they need to party and have crazy hairdos. So I went back and forth with the author of this article. I went back and forth with his senior editor because, like most pansies out there in America, they can't actually have a conversation. They have to refer to their supervisor or whatever. And so I went back and forth. I said, look, either you retract this article or I'm going to build a team of a legal team of veterans who are now lawyers, and then I'm going to fill the courtroom with combat veterans in a jury trial, and then we're going to make you look like the assholes that you are. And I don't even care about winning. I want to shine a light on this ridiculousness. So they can come at me with all their big settlement numbers. I'm not looking to settle, all right? I'm looking to fight. I'm looking to make the Washington Post pay. So if you're a combat veteran out there and you feel like that you've been defamed by direct reference or through association, please contact me. My email is ggsol. That stands for Great Grandson of Liberty, at Proton Mail. I'll take your story. I'll compile it. We don't have a legal team set up yet, but I'm working on it. We also have a Give, Send, Go that we're trying to develop, a certain amount of funds that we can entice lawyers, because look, most lawyers out there, they're not going to do anything if there's not money in it for them. So in order to entice these legal teams, I want to raise some money, and we've already raised over $2,600. So that GiveSendGo is givesendgo.com/combatvetsvwapo. And if you go there, donate a couple of bucks, read the description. I tell everybody that, hey, if it doesn't get off the ground, I'll return the money or I'll donate it to a counter child sex trafficking program. Or, you know, and if we win, if we end up winning all of Jeff Bezos's money, I'll keep his private island, and then we'll split all the money up amongst all the vets and all the people that donated. So please consider getting involved. Even if you don't have any money, please consider sharing the link, because that's really how we're going to defeat these jackasses, is by uniting around each other. And, you know, me and Chauncey, we talk before these shows, and we go on and on and on about things from race to our kids. And that's just it. That's what they don't want us to do. They don't want us to talk. They don't want us to come together. And they don't want us to stand up against them, okay? The wolf doesn't want that sheepdog in between him and the sheep. He wants to be able to jump right into the middle of the flock and just start pulling the sheep limb from limb, all right? But I'm willing to, you know, take the punches or throw the punches. And I would like as many people can help me, because we're not ever going to defeat these bastards until we actually unite and stand up against them.
Thank you
very
much.
And I see we have a caller.
Actually, that caller is my business partner. He's a veteran, Mallory Earl. You know what? Let's see if he wants to say a couple words. Hold on a second. Since he's calling
in. Well, let him know he's got 3 minutes.
Hey, Mallory, you want to talk for a minute or two? Mallory, I think this is Mallory's number. Is this Mallory Earl?
Mallory, you're on with the Jeremy and Chauncey show. I've always wanted to say that. I guess he's not on.
Mallory, this
maybe
is Keith Baker. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah. Who is this on the other line?
Hello, this is Keith Baker. Jeremy knows me.
Oh, hey, Keith. What's going on, brother?
I dialed in because the damn web part kept getting cut off. I don't know if they're just messing with the broadcast or what, but
no, they would
never
do that.
Let you guys know, but I was just listening to the show.
Oh, awesome! Are you in North Carolina?
Well, no, he's here in Tampa.
I am. I spent a lot of years at Fort Bragg. Just never changed my number. So
okay, yeah, because my business partner Mallory. His number, I thought it was him. He's in North Carolina now, is a 910. So I'm glad that you didn't stay quiet. I'm glad you jumped in. You know, nice to meet you.
Hey, nice meeting you as well. And I'm very grateful for you for helping Jeremy get the word out here.
Awesome.
And hey, Chauncey, I'll tell you a little bit about Keith. Keith is me and Keith. You went through our early days of Special Forces together, and then we linked up years later here in Tampa. He's working at an assignment nearby here. And,
awesome.
Yeah, Keith was a big supporter of my congressional campaign, one of the few. And so, Keith, I appreciate you always being behind me, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeremy. I appreciate you being out there leading the fight.
God bless you, and thank you for your service. Oppressor
Liber, friend.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to stay on and listen to you over there this way. I mean, like I said, the webcast kept cutting out on me.
All right. Cool. Thanks, man.
Jeremy,
so,
I'll let
Chauncey,
you close out
like
the show.
We got 45 seconds. Bring
I'll
it
let
on
you
home.
Close it out. You want to bring it? Okay.
All right.
Everyone,
I'll close it out then.
Yeah, you close
obviously,
it out.
Obviously, Chauncey hasn't gotten enough of hearing me talk in this broadcast. We got 38 seconds. So I just want to say to everybody that we are in a perilous time in the history of our republic, and if we don't stand up now and we don't push back against these people, then they're going to continue to take our lunch money. And if you know anything about bullies, that bullies will continue to push you around and continue to take your lunch money until you punch them in the nose. So I don't want to have to punch them in the nose the way that I'm best at doing it. So let's stand up with our voices, with our feet and with our dollars, and punch them in the nose that way, because the other way is not fun.
Please join us every Monday at 6 o'clock.
Too late. You missed it.
you missed it. You missed it. Not looking at the time, Jeremy. Your buddy's on the other end still, too. We're all still here. Your buddy's on the other end still.
Hey, Keith.
I know you guys are off the air. Can you still hear me, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. You're exactly right with the money part. You know, I was just thinking and talking about this with some folks today, you know, referenced the Major League Baseball thing there in Georgia, you know, trying to extort us, you know, because of trying to get some legitimate election laws there with voter ID and shit, you know,
right.
People just, I think folks like us, I mean, I'll get out there and say, hey, I'm done with Major League Baseball. I'm not going to watch another game or buy any more paraphernalia, but folks like us, we tend to forget, you know, because we're not into the whole extortion thing, but we gotta remember and remind our friends, you know, to, you know, keep the pressure on monetarily there.
Yeah, and you know, Keith, I was just sitting down going through the drop, the magazine that we get from the association. And literally
yep.
wrote down every single email address that I could find because I'm going to put together an email and blast it out to all the chapters because, you know, and you know this, you know, I tried to warn the guys at 60 and I don't know if they brought it up anymore after that last night, but, you know, this is a real deal, man. I mean, we need to start, yeah, us, guys like you and me, that know how to operate in this environment and we know what needs to be done, we need to start doing it in our communities because bad things are coming.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, and, yeah.
Listen, I don't know if...
And if you don't believe me, watch the interview that I did and listen to the tapes of the FBI. Trying to recruit him. These guys are coming after us. We just haven't recognized it yet.
I listened to it. Yeah.
Jeremy, I want to end this part because I don't know if this is recording still, even if it's not being on the show. I just want to, I don't want to take any chances. All right. So I'm going to end the episode here.